Hello. William Isaac Kitla Hunt Vassal. I've been here since June 2021. And when I first started my term, I had taken on the liaison for the fish weir. And during that time, I asked some of the council members here that were on there, and they said, well, just follow through. They know what they're doing, and it should work itself out, and you'll see how it works. Well, we caught a lot of fish, but it was hard distributing all the fish to the elders and getting them to the proper channels. So I worked hard and brought up the issue. I've talked with the Mike Orchid over here, and we worked together on putting together a document for distribution of our salmon. And the priority had changed from, well, there was no priorities. So we put some priorities in there. We brought forward that we want the elders at the top of the priority for the salmon. We also brought forward that we wanted a ceremony to be in the second part of the priority, which could be the dances, could be a funeral or something like that. And we also wanted the tribal members to have the fish. So this year we had cased up approximately 16 cases of salmon between the Boys and Girls Club and some of the community members here that went into the food boxes, which I am a liaison for with the food distribution. So we came up with a plan that we would store the salmon there and we would distribute it in the food boxes to the elders in a goal that they would get healthy food, natural food, from our river. And so we started the process. Like I said, we got 16 cases. I brought in two extra cases here because I don't know if elders are getting it, and I'm happy that some have showed up. And if you can grab a case, or not a case, like I said, there's only two and a half there, but you can have a jar for you to have some salmon as well. But I also wanted to talk about the living document that we created. We had talked about possibly, nothing's in effect yet, but in this plan, we would look at possibly purchasing through the food distribution some elk meat from other tribes if it's possible. And so we could reach out to put that in our elder food boxes as well. Also, we would like to incorporate tinctures, like the elderberry tinctures, and I have some over there as well if you want to grab one of those. And this is all made local by our people. And so the goal was to, it's like that saying, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, or you teach a man to fish and you feed him for the rest of his life. So with that said, we are teaching the youth. It's focused on the youth to strip the fish and to smoke it. The whole process is done by the youth, and it goes to the elders. This was one of the projects that I'm really proud of. You know, I really took and put a lot of time into this, and I put my heart into it, and I thought, man, this is going to make a difference. Putting healthy food, because that was a big issue when I came in, was that elders weren't getting good food. And so next we could look at the farmer's market and what possibly that could be purchased to be put in there from local people, you know, and there's just endless possibilities with that. So I am a liaison for the police department as well. And I was a police officer for approximately, well, I worked for the police department for approximately 4 years. Prior to me leaving, I was a sergeant with the SLEC certification, which means I went to the BIA Police Academy in New Mexico. I was not a post certified officer. I had requested it at the time, but in the time we were not going that route. So I ended up getting lots of training, and I requested, I want training. Well, then if I can't get that, can I get training? Well, I got lots of training, and that's something that I pack around. So I am the police liaison. With that said, if there are any concerns that you would like to bring forward in a writing manner to the police chief, you can also bring it to me, and I will take it and I will hand deliver it or make sure it goes into the proper channels. With that said, there are things that come to me that I say, you have to go through the boards. And I'm not trying to be rude about it, But there are things that there's a process. You can't just come straight to me on a lot of issues. But when you do come to me, I'm working with you. We are now working together. And I will work to help you find a solution, whatever your issue, the process, show you the process, and I'm there to help you and follow through with you all the way till the end. And I like to revert back to a lot of things that's happened in my life growing up. And one of the things that it comes to my mind, my brother, he's deceased now. He was a professional boxer in his time. And he had told me, when he was before he became professional, he said, "Ikey, you could do anything in 4 years. 4 years, you could do anything. You put 4 years of your time in, you could graduate from college. 4 years of your time, you could become a professional athlete, Ikey. Put in the time of 4 years." And that's where I say, you know, 4 years, it's hard to get things done with just half of that time. But 4 years of time, you can get things done. And I look at our education program, and I'm a big advocate for the education, you know. And I look at them, and I said, man, I wanted a youth center. That was the biggest thing when I came in. I want a youth center. I want it for my youth. You know, I just had another baby a couple days ago. I didn't know we were going to have a meeting, so I would have planned it right and not had a baby during this time. But I have four kids, and I believe, like, these kids are going to be here. This is their future, you know, and I'm worried about them. So my thing is to make sure that we're doing the right for them. I'm invested with that, the education program. I want them. So, you know, if I can get time out of my day to go to the library and read to children, you know, people in the public should be able to do that too. You know, let's work together on this and help our youth. You know, a big goal of mine was with the education, was this education building. When it came up, there was two parts of the grant, I believe. And the first part was we had it, but the second part was we had to guarantee the money so we could get the project. And with that, I had lobbied the council and talked to them. And my support, I said, in the rebuttals, I had told them, we need this. This is a priority. Let's put the money there for them to get the building. Let's do this. Ultimately, it was decided that we should. and I'm glad we did. Now we have that there. We're going to have a building put in. The goal of that, it's a long-term goal, but is to take first through fourth grade. Because from first to fourth grade, through statistics, it is shown that if they can't read by fourth grade, they are less likely to succeed. So we need to put our focus in from first to fourth grade. And I would love to build a curriculum through our tribe with our self-sovereignty to take first and second grade. You know, not homeschool, but private school them tribally, and build our own curriculum. Teach them the proper history that's not being taught to them. You know, teach them who we are. Add the cultural side of who we are to these classes. and so that is a long-term goal, and I look forward to seeing somebody else. I will try to lay the platform for that. And in the future, if I cannot achieve that, I'm hoping somebody out there who comes behind me will take that up and finish that off and make it happen. I'm also, let me see my paper. I don't really have a speech written. So the museum. I'm also a liaison for the museum, which I haven't totally done them the full justice. I believe that I've supported them with their travels and their trainings and to get us a dictionary, or not a dictionary, but a curriculum made. I worked with the accredited program when they built their language accreditation program. I had showed up to the several meetings and gave my points of view. Now that we do have an accredited program, we can have more language teachers in the school, state recognized, HOOPA language teachers. I am a language speaker, and I like to see more language speakers. I was blessed and lucky enough to have that in my family, where I had relatives who spoke fluent Hoopa. Nowadays, it's hard to find. You don't see it. You don't see it anymore. For me, is to use it every day. And so this accredited program, we are looking to have more teachers in the school teaching our language. And it's like when I was told when we pray, when I first started learning to pray at the dances from my AWOC Na'an Ray Baldy Sr., he had told me, you got to pray in Indian because our ancestors don't speak English, you know. And I really thought about that. They don't. How do they even understand us if we're praying in English, you know? I took that to heart. And so all the work that has come from the time of the dictionary with Marceline, you know, I appreciate the time that you put in there and helped with that. It had paved the way for me. And now I have looked at this and I thought, man, I'm going to pick up where they left off and we're going to start helping this programs and the language succeed and bring it back. So I am full support with the staff at the museum looking into Hoopa language. If there's any concerns or anything you want to talk to me about, I have an open door. I also have my cell phone out, both of them. I have my emails out, and I'm not hard to reach. You put word out, I'll come and find you. So with that said, have a good day. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Jordan Haley, and I am the representative for Mesquite Field. I am the newest member on the Tribal Council. I know me and Jill came on at the same time, but this is her second spiel with it. So I'm still learning a lot. Bear with me. Public speaking is not one of my best abilities. I'm still working on it, but I will try to hone that. I want to go in a little different direction today and talk about a lot of what I've seen since coming into office, and a lot on how we treat each other and how we see each other, the lack of compassion and empathy and understanding some people have for others. You know, most of our people, some of the best people I've ever met in my entire life, and I've been around a little bit, you know, are in this valley, are our people. You know, we have some of the smartest, hardest working, most dedicated people. You know, and having said that, you know, we have some other people that like to drag people down or having a hard time, or, you know, there's so much trauma and so much bad things that we go through, especially growing up on the reservation. And a lot of these people, I don't think they even realize they're doing it. I don't think it comes from a place of malice or hatred. It's frustration. I've been there myself. I've been to where I've wanted to burn the world down. I couldn't, you know, stand to see myself in the mirror. I'm a recovering drug addict myself. I've been clean 12 years. And that's one of the big focuses I've had on is wellness, you know, education, like several others have said, you know, and healing our people to truly succeed and move forward and try to get back up to where we used to be. We have a lot of healing we need to do. And to do that, we need to be able to understand each other and have love for each other. You know, I see a lot of instances in different tribal departments or entities where things come up because of problems, with people, because they may not like the person or they've had instances in the past, or, you know, there's this underlying feeling kind of like we have to be in best friends or we have to be in the clique to kind of work together and to move forward. And that's just so far from the truth. You know, we don't have to be best friends. We don't have to hang out after work, but we do need to understand and have love for each other. And I think that is a huge, huge thing that we need to undertake and really look at. You know, I see so many amazing people out here today, you know, every day at work, when we're out in the community, and a lot of people that are in a bad way and that get judged for that, you know, but you don't really know what people go through. You know, sometimes people have been at the top so long, they get really comfortable and they forget how hard of a struggle it is just day to day. for most people. You know, I've spent a lot of my time in my life, you know, in that arena. I've been through a lot, as most of us have, you know, and it breaks my heart to see so many amazing people, you know, being treated in a certain way, maybe just because they're a little different, or they're not liked, or they're not part of the cool kid group, or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I really truly feel that we need to really look at that and assess ourselves on a daily basis. You know, I'm always, you know, assessing myself, trying to always do better, strive for better. And I think if all of us can get there, and most of us do, like I said, there's a lot of great hardworking people out there. Most of us do really well. I think it's just a lack of understanding, maybe. And, you know, to succeed, we succeed together. And if we don't, we're going to fail together. You know, for thousands of years, we lived in this valley, on this river, and in these mountains by everybody working together, everybody doing their part. And the people that couldn't, we took care of them. You know, we didn't ostracize them. We didn't make them feel less than. We didn't, you know, overlook them maybe just because they weren't, you know, one of our favorite people in the world. It didn't matter. We took care of everyone. And I think we can get there. I know we can, but we really have to, you know, kind of reevaluate how we treat each other, how we talk to each other, how we view each other. You know, they're in need, and a lot of them feel ashamed. And, you know, a lot of people, I'm a very prideful person. I've always kind of done everything on my own. The couple times I've had to reach out, it was very, very hard for me. But, you know, through that part in our life, everybody struggles. Everybody stumbles and falls. And I don't think that, you know, when people are in that situation, making them feel less or criticizing them helps in any way, shape, or form. It's a really ugly way to be. We need to look at each other with the same love and affection we have for our dearest families. Again, you know, we don't have to be best friends. We don't have to hang out after work and, you know, have barbecues and stuff. Excuse me, smoker. But we do need to, you know, have each other's back. You know, when I was in Washington, D.C. a couple months ago, first time I'd ever been there, I was walking back from a meeting, and I'm starting to cross the street, and there's this old gentleman walking by, and there's, I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's all these young people on scooters and the e-bikes. It's a big thing over there. Well, this young guy's going by. He's got his suit and his satchel, and he goes by, and he kind of knocks into this old guy and knocks him over. The guy goes down, hits his head on the cement, boom, lays it open, doesn't even look back, just zooms right on by, and I'm sitting there looking. I kind of look back and forth, like, did that really just happen? And took me about 10 seconds to get over to the street, run across the street, and get to the guy. Well, in that 10 seconds, I must have saw 10 or 15 people just step right over him like he was nothing. So I go over, because I'm an ex-member of the volunteer fire department. I've spent, you know, years in the EMS field, and I'm trying to help him and everything, and people walking by this, or, you know, who cares, or get out of the way. And I thought, man, this poor guy's laying there bleeding on the cement. And for long story short, he ended up dying. You know, we did CPR, but we did what we could. Me and one other person stayed and helped, and probably 100 people just stepped over and walked on by. And it really tripped me out. I remember afterwards talking to Darcy and you know, having a really hard time with that, you know, because no matter what people say in our community, that would never happen. We would never step over somebody like that. We would never, you know, just look the other way or judge. You know, we may do that in certain times, you know, over little things, but with something like that, we would never do that to somebody. And I feel that we need to be like that in every aspect of every day. You know, we have so many amazing people, so many talented minds, you know, passionate people. Our youth are getting active and starting all these things. You know, you got kids becoming activists, 18, 19. When I was that age, we were worried about where to party. These kids are trying to change the world. And I think that we really need to support them and do whatever we can to help further that that movement and keep that going. I try, and it all starts at home. You know, I try to teach my kids that, my nieces and nephews, and hold them accountable and try to show them a good way and how to be. And when they make mistakes, you know, I let them know that they've made a mistake. We need to correct it, but I don't ostracize them or scream and yell or, you know, make them feel less, because then if people are afraid to make mistakes, they're going to be afraid to go out there and try. You know, and you'll fail 99 times, but on the 100th time, if you succeed, you know, then that's it. I mean, you know, that's what it takes. And, you know, I'm still new. I spend half of my day just reading. You know, like Joe had said, we get 50 to 100 emails a day, a bunch of calls, probably a stack of papers, you know, that thick every single day. And so I'm still getting myself up to speed with a lot of the history and everything. So I apologize if I'm not quite where I need to be yet, you know, when people come to talk to me, but I'm getting there and I'm usually here every day. You know, I'm out and about. If there's anything I can ever do, I'll bring my card out that has my email and my phone number on it. I'm usually in the office or around the valley. Most of you know where I live. You know, if there's anything ever I can do to help, you know, just let me know. Like that was the biggest reason I got into this is, you know, wanting to help. You know, besides my children, the thing I'm most proud of in my life is being a Hoopa tribal member and growing up and seeing all the things that our tribe and people have accomplished. And yeah, we're kind of in a lull right now and we're kind of in a bad way, but we're bouncing back. You know, we're trying to strive for more. You know, everybody does it in a different way, but you know, we can get back on top again. You know, but more importantly, I think we need to get healthy and you know, remember that you know, together we succeed and we need to love each other again. You know, I mean, that's a huge part of it, and just have compassion and empathy and understanding and a little bit of patience. You know, I know that's easier said than done. I'm not the most patient person myself when it comes to certain things, but you know, I try to strive to do better every single day, and you know, I implore everybody else to do the same. And like I said, most people do. You know, I look around even just in this room and I see some very amazing, talented people. You know, and we never see what's going on in the, you know, background. We catch a lot of flack and, you know, things. And that's normal. You know what? I've been that person too myself. I mean, you know, but, you know, if we just have a little bit more understanding or try to see it through that person's perspective or walk in their shoes, you know, I really think that we can get to where we need to be and you know, look at it for what it is and have each other's back. That's how we're going to succeed, and I think that's how we can really move forward as a people, as a tribe, with our entities, as departments. You know, is you got to give 110% every second of every day. Every place I've ever worked, I've always gone above and beyond. I don't mind helping people. You know, I'll stay late whether I was getting paid or not because it was my tribe, my people, my community. And I think if all of us can have that attitude and that mindset, you know, I mean, the sky's the limit. We can get where we need to be and beyond. We can do some really amazing things. But like we've done it since time immemorial, since day one, we have to do it together. So thank you very much. I'll be around if anybody has any questions, and I hope everybody has a great day.
Well, how do you follow that, huh? Well, you know, just like what the chairman had gave his report, this table here has been working very hard for the membership. We hear what you're saying. We hear your concerns. That's why we're pushing our managers to go that extra step. And I think our managers have realized that, and they're doing that. You know, I mean, the chairman listed a lot of things that is, you know, positive things, and that's what we need to look at, is the positive things that's happening here for our reservation and our people. I had a lot of things listed here, but the chairman kind of took that away. So, but one thing he did not mention was the trading post. We have a building over there that the tribal council here has allowed the self-governance department and Department of Commerce to build this building for the small businesses here on our reservation, so that these people will have a building that they can go to and sell their goods. The plan is to let them do that, and in addition to that, have something downtown so that when they get enough money, and they have been, we've been making lots of money there, the people have, get that money so that they can have their own business downtown. So they don't have to just sell on weekends. But if people want to do that, it's still available there. In addition to that, the building is also used for birthday parties. It's a building for the community that they could use birthday parties, meetings, you know, a number of things that they could do down there. They also have a fish cleaning area at that place, right on the side there. So our membership can use that. That's there for our membership. There's a butcher trailer. I don't know if you guys know that, but we have purchased a butcher trailer. So if you need to butcher your animals, it's available there for the membership. And this table here has allowed that to happen because it's a need that people have said that, you know, this is what we want, this is what we need. And so that's what I'm saying. We're listening to you. We're actually moving forward, which is good. And the chairman also talked about going back to Washington, D.C. I know that in the past it was, you know, a lot of people were complaining, you guys aren't doing anything here for us on at the reservation because you're always traveling. Well, you know what? If we're not at the table, we're going to be on the menu. And I've been expressing that to the council. And so that way, you know, we have been going out there. We have been meeting with people. And it has been working because we are getting more funding here for our people. And that's important for us to succeed here. There's all our, like I said, our managers have been working really hard. They got their business plans in order. The other thing is, I was really proud of this tribal member. Kay Witt Nelson and Leslie Nelson have purchased a couple of parcels downtown, and they are now renovating the Burger Barn. This is a tribal member that says, I want to help. So they're now renovating the Burger Barn. They have another building that they're building next to Laura's, used to be Laura's Kitchen there. That's their building. So we need more tribal members like that to invest in our community here. Because you know what, that money is going to stay here, just like we did with the trading posts. All that money that we pay and for those products is staying here on the reservation. And that's the goal here, and that's how we're going to succeed. He talked about the batting cages. That was one of the things that I really, really wanted to get done for our youth, because I feel that the batting cages will help our youth, because sometimes, you know, they get frustrated. Well, they can go down there and hit those balls around, you know, get that frustration out. Instead of throwing rocks at a building or spray painting a building, they could be down there doing that. So I'm proud to say that, you know, this year, this baseball season, the children are going to be able to use that. And that's good for them, I really strongly believe. We also created a elders task force. We were focused on our elders here. We heard the words that, you know, hey, there's no services for them. Nobody knows what's going on with them. So this task force has been created so that people are going out and actually checking on the elders. So if you haven't been checked on, call our office and, you know, we'll make sure that you get added to the list. And it's not just tribal elders, it's community elders, because they're part of our community here. We are also starting to work on fire prevention on Bald Hill, which I'm very proud of. And I'd like to thank the forestry department, the fire department, and who is the other one? Oh, yes. They have worked together on a grant, and now we got funding so that we can go up there and clear Ball Hill and help prevent, help the fire prevention up there on the hill. Because as you know, it takes a long time for the fire truck to get up there if something was to happen. So I'm very proud to say that we've got that going, and which is good. And you know, I just want to say that listening to all of the council members here and what they have said today, I hope you realize that we are listening to you. We are pushing our managers. Some managers are digging their heels in, but then they realize how it's going to help and benefit themselves. So with that, I'd like to thank you for allowing us to take up your morning and giving you what we have to say here. So thank you very much.
Real quickly, just a couple things that I forgot to mention. You know, our planning department worked with an outside contractor, and they gathered up a community needs assessment. I think that assessment has now been completed. A lot of you probably participated in this. There was a financial incentive. And with that, that's going to go a long ways towards helping us bring in funding, you know, to show when we ask funding agencies, what is our need here? That will help us. And I thank the planning department for that work. Speaking of the financial incentive, I got a text that I was drawn second place, $500. And everybody said, man, that must have been fixed. But I donated it to the Animal Rescue. And I wanted to mention them as well. Doing a lot of great work to help clean up strays. I encourage people to volunteer, get involved with our local Animal Rescue. You know, the tribe has donated other monies to them. We've asked them for a proposal on a potential shelter that could be built to help address our animal problem. And if you guys can donate time or funding to our Two Rivers Local Pet Rescue nonprofit, I encourage you to do that. And I encourage our planning department, next time they want to have a drawing, make it public so that we don't get accused of any wrongdoing. But in any case, we're going to move on now to our financial reports. Before we do that, I just want to kind of tag on to everything that Jordan said. You know, this is going to be opportunities as we get to the department reports for tribal members to ask questions, to give input. Let's keep that positive and respectful. You know, we know that there's a lot of work to be done, right? We still have room for improvement, and we can't make that improvement all on our own. We need you tribal members to come and share your perspectives with us, your ideas, ways to help us improve, and we welcome that. We appreciate it. We respect it. But bring it to us in a positive, respectful manner. You know, we are trying up here. You know, we're all tribal members too. At the end of the day, we're just tribal members that care about our future generations. So with that, in order to, you know, start this off on a positive note, let's have a quick prayer. We didn't have a prayer. I'll ask Greg Moon, would you come up and offer a prayer for us?
Lord, we just thank you for this time to be together, Lord God, as a tribe, and to, Lord God, support and work on our, Lord God, enterprises and departments and council. We ask that you, Lord, help us to do it together and get good results. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to introduce our CFO now, Patricia Alvarado. She's going to share some general information on our enterprises, and then we also have time scheduled for our enterprise managers, including the grocery store, gas station, HFI, motel, and Rhodes Ag. Welcome, Patricia.
Good morning, everyone. Before jumping into enterprises, because they'll have an opportunity to present here shortly after me, I kind of want to take us back to our last general meeting where I discussed the balance sheet and kind of what the purpose of the balance sheet is. Overall, a balance sheet is a statement of a business assets and liabilities and owner's equity at a point in time. This has kind of been our sole focus over the last couple of years to ensure that we have enough cash on hand to meet all of our liabilities. And since 2015 forward, we have been faced with our liabilities exceeding our assets at the end of every fiscal year, meaning that our cash isn't always there to support all our liabilities at the end of the day. And that is something that we have been trying to work on over the last couple of years, the Tribal Council in particular. We have seen our balance sheet sit over at 21 and 22 around negative $5.1 million, meaning our liabilities over-succeed our assets by that much. So how can we improve this? How can we bring ourselves into a more positive standing financially to ensure that we have enough cash on hand to meet all of our liabilities each fiscal year? There are a number of ways. One is creating new revenue streams. You know, we haven't had any new revenue streams in the tribe since I have been here. And the ones that we did have in the past are no longer able to draw in the same amount of revenue we had been used to seeing in the past. It also takes money to make money. So to create new revenue streams, we have to have the cash to do that. And being that we have a limited amount of cash now, it's very hard to take on new business ventures without having that cash backing. So that's a little bit of a challenge for us. Secondly, to reduce overall government spending. The revenue streams that we have to date are very solid in the amount that we receive. And so ensuring that our costs are not exceeding that, and ensuring that when a department submits their annual budget every year, takes into account that the revenue streams aren't increasing, so therefore your budget cannot increase from year to year. And so over the last few fiscal years, we have been very fortunate enough through CARES and ARPA to be able to support department requests in their budgets. However, moving forward, we don't have that funding source anymore. It has been used over the last couple fiscal years. And so as we move into our 2024 budget planning, which is coming up for department managers, take that in mind, because when the council is able to see the revenue side of it, opposed to your guys' request, they might be sending out a notice to maybe reduce the budgets again this year. Third, limit entity payroll support. The government has been supporting entity payrolls for a number of years. A lot of those expenses have accumulated over many years, resulting in large balances owed back to the general fund. So that's something that we need to address and improve moving forward to ensure that what cash we do have on hand today is not depleted in excess of what we are seeing brought in. Another area is the timeliness from the BIA when it comes to fire reimbursement submissions, our timber billing monthly. We met with the BIA in late fall of 2022. The council and I went down and we discussed those issues with them, and they let us know that they are also experiencing short staffage turnaround. But they were working on it and that they would try better. We also learned that when it comes to our fire reimbursements, it's not just in the Bureau's hand. They have to turn around and submit the request to NFC. NFC then sends them the money and then they funnel it to the tribe. So it's a little bit of a waiting game there as well. But when we ended the fiscal year 22, we have over $1 million in fire reimbursements still outstanding with the Bureau. Another thing, every month we do our timber billing, we send it down to the Bureau for review. They issue us a J number. We in turn then make the money transfers. However, the last one we received was for August. So we haven't received October through December's. So we're not able to transfer money to trust at this time. And when money is in trust, it accrues a very high interest rate. So we're waiting for the Bureau to issue those J numbers. And again, that's something that the council has been pushing the Bureau on by going to meetings with them and to ensuring that they're following through on their end. So overall, you know, those are areas in which we should focus on in order to ensure that at the end of the day, we are trying to reverse that negative standing that we're seeing, is to take those steps. They haven't really been taken over the last few years. Luckily, we have been able to maintain ourselves because of the ARPA and the CARES funding and the additional support that has come in through from all agencies and departments seeking additional funding sources outside of just their base funding that they're receiving within their own budget allocations. And then from that point, I wanted to talk a little bit about ARPA, because I know everybody kind of wants to know, well, how much ARPA do we have left? Where did it get spent, et cetera? And so there is a report, I think, on the back table that kind of covers ARPA. Overall, we received $26 million, and the cash as of last week was $8 million in the bank, meaning we've spent $18.4 million to date. $13 million of that being to membership distribution payments. Of the remaining $8.4 million in cash on hand, a portion of that has been obligated, and on the sheet you'll be able to see what the obligations are for. And then so the available cash after the planned obligations are $1.1 million moving forward into, we can say, into next fiscal year. Overall, we've just been being able to maintain. We have not been able to really turn ourselves into a positive standing. The things that I covered earlier will definitely help ensure that we can get there. But it takes everybody, even departments, to realize that they play a part in the process as well when it comes to them and their budget requests in 2024. Next, I think it's going to be the enterprises. Well, they'll talk a little bit to you about their standing and kind of what they want to do. But overall, I feel like I'm starting to repeat myself from meeting to meeting. We're kind of staying in the same situation we've been seeing the last couple fiscal years, maintaining, but we have to make improvements to ensure that we don't stay here, but we begin reversing it. Thank you.
Right. Why don't we go ahead and bring our enterprise managers up one by one here. First up, we have Mr. Mike Malarkey, grocery store manager. Mike says he's not nervous. He told me ahead of time.
Morning, afternoon. First, I want to thank everybody who shopped at the shopping center for supporting us. If we go to the next page, I have the 2022 profit and loss report. We made approximately $462,000 net profit. We have a lot of expenses. One of them would be our loan. We pay $250,000 to $302,000 a year for that, but we're paying that off successfully. If we jump into the next page, it's the 2023, and that's where we currently stand. If I can get it open. And we're currently up $317,000 for this year. Business is picking up every year from 2019 to currently. You see an increase every year. I've talked to the auditors, Melissa, and she said most businesses don't make it the first 3 years. Well, I think we've done pretty good here at the grocery store. And again, I want to thank you all for shopping there. If you turn to the next page, this is our annual net profit. I went ahead and listed the years and how we were doing, and you can steadily see the climb as we went through the years. It's kind of like a roller coaster in this graph, and the ups and downs of this is when you see a negative on there, it's probably three paydays in a month or possibly 5 weeks of AP payments, meaning paying our bills. We pay our bills weekly. Our profit and loss report is the way we do it there at the shopping center is if we paid it that month, that's in our expense report. It's not by the time that it is delivered, and there is a difference. Next, I want to move to the next page. New and upcoming additions to the Hoopa Shopping Center. I don't know if you're all aware, but we do have an ATM machine there that was installed in December. That's ready to use. We made a section in the produce department specifically for people that have diabetes to help you find some of the things with low salt, low sugar, so you don't have to scavenge through the store. it's really great, and it's getting bigger and better. We're adding stuff weekly. We plan on putting in an espresso bar in the grocery store, and I think that's going to create a lot of revenue. It'll be a store inside of a store, the way I look at it. A lot of people drive to Willow Creek to get their mochas and their lattes, and we'll be able to do that right here from the grocery store as soon as we get a L-shaped bar. Or, believe it or not, that's pretty hard to find. So if you guys have any ideas, I'd love to hear it. We just got a pizza oven in. It will make 4 pizzas in 15 minutes. So if you folks are interested in getting a pizza pretty fast, call down to the grocery store and order yourself a pizza. They came out pretty good. I liked them. Another thing that's not on here is a new program. You've probably seen it at the registers if you went through there, and it's the app card machines. And what that is if you put your phone number in there and become a member, it's called Hoopa Rewards. You'll establish some points every time you go through and spend money there at the grocery store, and you can use that later on to apply as, you know, it's just like money. You get 500 points just for signing up, which is $5. You get rewarded for your birthdays. Every time you come through the line, say you had a box of Cheerios and there was a Cheerios coupon out there somewhere, and it will automatically give you that coupon and take it off your groceries, which is really fabulous. You'll save a lot of money that way. Last thing is the Western Union. I've been fighting this for 3 years. I've been trying to get Western Union, and it always seems to stop right at the end. I'm going to follow through with it. We're going to get it. That Western Union has the prepaid cards, reloadable cards, and we really need that at the grocery store, and we're going to be working on that. On the next page, it's our employee status. We currently have 41 employees there. 28 of them are full-time employees, 13 part-time, but that's actually going to move to 30 and 11 next week. Out of that, we have 29 Hoopa tribal members, 4 married to Hoopa tribal members, 4 from other tribes, and 4 non-natives. That's basically all that I put in my report. If you want to see the P&L reports for 2020 and 21, I seen them up there up front, but you do have 22. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I see Mike on the road at 5 a.m. in the morning heading to work sometimes. It's hard to find people like that. We are making a lot of progress at our grocery store. I feel like there's a lot of improvements. If you guys haven't tried the Chinese food there, the pizza, it's pretty darn good. So they're improving what they offer. We know that, it's tough to shop at our grocery store all the time. The prices are high, but there are reasons for that. I'll give you a good example. When Winco goes to purchase their food, because they purchase with other Wincos or even the same with Ray's, they're going to purchase 10,000, they're going to purchase 20 pallets of rice at one time. And so they get a better deal on that 20 pallets when we're only ordering one pallet. So that costs extra money to buy. The shipping to truck the food in here is pretty expensive. That drives up prices. But we have tried different things where we will give tribal members a 10% discount for the month. You may have seen that at times. It is a hit to the store. Mike reports a pretty significant reduction in revenue when that happens, but we want to try to do more of that to give the shopper a little bit of a break. It's tough, maybe we should have another one of those soon, Mike, being that we have made $317,000 so far in profit this first quarter. So let's look at doing that. But I encourage everybody to support our grocery store. It is tough, you know. It's easy to go to Winco. Sometimes we need to do that. But if you can, you know, start to look towards our grocery store more, maybe order a pizza there instead of going to the pizza factory, that kind of thing, it'll pay off over time. All right, next up we have our gas station. Is anybody here from the mini mart? Zoom? Well, everybody was supposed to be here, so we'll deal with that. But I can report that first quarter profits for the mini mart, I know, were $411,000, correct, Patricia? So they're doing good so far. These first 3 months of the fiscal year, $411,000 profit. So our mini mart continues to get better. You know, they are, I believe they're working on a new floor. They recently got a new roof. You've seen that the credit card system's better. You can get a higher limit on your spending now. When you get gas, it's no longer capped at $60, I think it was before. So there's some good things going on there. Next up, we'll go ahead and move on to HFI. Come on up here, Wendell.
So just to give you an update with HFI and the milling, we were working on a couple of grants with forestry. We're hoping to get the answers to the grants for the conveyors and other things to make it more efficient because we're pretty labor intensive down there. Getting conveyors, rollers, side shift units to separate. We have a another person that was coming up with Wood Innovations that to do all the thinning grant material that's coming up through there for fire and everything else that's going on. We finished logging all of our current units that were on hold for the yarder breakdown that we had. We have got that repaired and now the E, the F, the P are all finished. We are currently have no timber on the ground that's backlogged. We are caught up. So from here on out, we will fall trees and truck them accordingly. And our logging trucks and everything else is all registered and everything. We had real problems with that. So we have got them registered. We have truckers in the DOT signed up, so hopefully we can be more efficient and in-house some of our trucking expenses. And it's currently where we're at. And then the firewood. Par lumber. Yeah, we have a bunch of wood sales. We sell to Ace Hardware, the Mill Yard, Elk Creek, and Par Lumber. Now it's about keeping up and being efficient in milling the lumber so we can keep up with these orders. They've done really well. Like this month, we've sold over 25,000, and hopefully we can carry on and do a lumber truck every week is the goal. So, and the truck is around $13,000 to $15,000 a truck. So hopefully everything will, you know, be more efficient in keeping up with those orders. And
yeah, with regards to our little lumber mill down there, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, the council took heat in hiring on Bluestone, and certainly we weren't really happy with Bluestone. We actually ended up terminating their contract, but one thing that Bluestone did do, and I give them and Wally credit and Wendell, is they connected us with Par Lumber. They're a big lumber company in Southern California, and now those folks are buying quite a bit of our lumber. We got them up here. They were very impressed with our operation. They really like our product, and it recently started up during the month of December, We turned a $21,000 profit just for the month of December. So I give Wendell and his crew credit for delivering the product that they wanted, that they liked. And, you know, thankful to Wally as well for all his help and making us, you know, getting us to a point of closing that deal. So our lumber mill's heading in the right direction. I think it's been a long time since we've actually turned a profit there. So that's looking good. We're on a good track there. I think we need to keep that momentum up. Next up is our motel, Hoopa Motel.
Good morning, everybody. Mary Jane had prepared ahead of time, and I'm really nervous. I'm Billy. I work at the motel. Been there for about 5 years. You can't hear me? Is this better?
Yeah.
Our motel has been going through a lot of renovation, doing like some of the rooms that need it, and hopefully we're going to be able to improve more of this in due time with more financial gain. Hopefully, if we can keep our revenue and keep boosting our sales and renting and whatnot through, oh my God. I'm just gonna read her letter. She said, things are staying busy here in the winter months. Spring is right around the corner. With a lot, we have, we received $200 from the CARES Act, the Project Room Key. That's what has been able to pay our payroll and keep us afloat for the fiscal year 21 and 22. We're going to end up going through probably some dips in our revenue because of our business is kind of slow right now. But things will hopefully improve. We do plan on deep cleaning and going through each room and repairing everything that needs to be repaired. All the complaints that have been made and were brought to us have been, like, with all the loitering and we've implemented more, well, I have been implementing more attention to the outside area of the motel because it does look bad for people that come from out of town to have people that are just wandering around there and doing whatever it is they're doing. I don't know. If you have any questions about the motel, you can ask me after the meeting and I can be able to answer you more directly on different areas that you may have questions about or need more information about. Other than that, I'm sorry.